Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and our warrior.
102.3 FM Riverside
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Okay, we are back in the House of Mystery, and it's another great day. Everything good is happening to us today.
That's right.
That's right, Al.
we're taking no more emails for the weekend, and we'll start over again in a week. Oh boy! So there we go. Now, of course, I'm Al Warren, and old Dave Martino is over there, still dressed up like the monkeys, still partying.
That's right. I haven't stopped.
I'll give you a few recipes for drinks if you want.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, he goes straight from the bottle.
Oh, well.
Yeah, just give me a bag.
Okay. Take the bag over the bottle.
Yeah, he doesn't even wait for the box.
No.
Oh, this is terrible. Starting out already mean. I'm going to get more emails again.
That's right. Mean. That's okay. I'll just let it out.
Let it all out. Let all the steam out. Okay. Where do I start? No. Anyway, today we are here, and we're going to be talking to our guest, Kathy Stoller. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Well, I'm glad somebody is. You know, we're trying for that. Well, this is interesting. Now, you've written quite a few books, and I know, let's see, the one that I've got, I think it's your newest one, is the Straight Up.
Yes.
Murder on the Rocks mystery. Okay, so that's Murder on the Rocks mystery book 3. Yes. So how does that, so this is the third book in this series. How do you get to write and do a series of something like this, like of crime? Do you have it all in your mind ahead of time?
No. I mean, I started writing the series because my husband was in the restaurant business for a really long time, and I used to hang out there, you know, various places that he managed and worked at, and I got to know all the people, and some of them are in my book, but they're not bad people. They're all the nice people, and I just decided it would be fun to write a series about a restaurant and the bar, and I wanted to have a female protagonist, so I picked Jude. And the first book, she's helping out her friend and her landlord, who's like her really good friend. And there is a murder at in his apartment, but it leads back to the co-op food bank where he works in the Bronx. And so he has her, he asks her to go undercover there. And she's working in an accounting department, and she knows nothing about that. So she solves the murder. Actually, there were a few murders. And then I decided that, well, that was sort of about, you know, people stealing, corporate stealing and things like that. And then I decided I wanted to write another book, and that is Last Call. And that started with serial killers. And this new book, Straight Up, that's also continues with the serial killer theme. One of them got away. Let's just say that. And
they always do.
Yeah. I don't really know who they are. You two could be serial killers. I don't know.
Anyway. Well, what do you think what I do in my spare time? And so
well, I don't know.
I have the three names.
Yeah, that's each the three right. name killer.
Three name killers. Yeah, so,
Well, yeah, but, you know, first of all, you know, these are great names for the series, and you can just definitely tell it's, you know, you've got a bar influence here. So is this centered in a certain location, like a bar?
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, Jude owns the Corner Lounge on Avenue B and 10th Street on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And she lives in the building, and her landlord, as I mentioned, is her very good friend. And he's a patron of the bar as well. So it's all, most of it, except for the parts in the Bronx, take place downtown on the Lower East Side. And so she kind of works in things around there in that neighborhood.
So you must make the bar an actual character then.
It is. I really feel like setting is tremendously important in a book. To me, it's like the best supporting actor or actress in a movie. It kind of pulls the whole thing together, I think. And within that framework, you can do a lot of things. You know, you can add people, take people away, or I just think that setting is very important. Well, especially in this book, because a lot of it takes place at the bar.
Yeah.
Well, this is the book I have up on my screen, which I know nobody will see. That's my that's the second book. Straight Up is three, and I'm working on book number four, which is called With a Twist. And that's actually going to take place on a cruise ship. We're going to make Jude take a vacation. And,
right. Get away from all the murder.
She'll have murder.
Ship and she'll get COVID. She'll be stuck.
Oh, no. No COVID. All of these stories take place before COVID.
Well, that's
I guess I should say that. I didn't really want to. You know, after living through it, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I just didn't really want to write about it. I didn't want to.
No, yeah, of course not. No, I mean, you know, and not only that, the thing is, you know, it's not really a resolved issue of how things are going to go in the future. Like, we still don't know. There's a lot of issues. So, you know, at least it's too much in the air, and I wouldn't want to do that. But, and, you know, and when I write, it's an event that really happened, and I try to put together as much of the information as I can get out there so you get the story. So I don't really get to choose a location that it's going to happen in, or who's going to do it, or who's going to be involved, and how they act and react. Whereas you have to do that for the whole book. Like, you're doing the characters, the setting, the murder, the mystery. You have to put all of that together. So that's why I asked with the series part. So this is book three, and you're going to do book four. Is you know, when you started this series back in book one, like when you were writing it, somewhere in the back of your mind, did you have an idea of where your character Jude was going to be in 10 books, let's say, or down the road, how it was going to end, so to speak?
Oh, I didn't, honestly. I just knew I wanted to continue her and the other people in the books and the bar, because I really like the atmosphere I created with the bar and the restaurant. And I'm a pantser. I guess your listeners know what that is. I don't really plot hardly at all. I just start with something and I think about it, and then I think, oh, what if this happened? And sometimes when I'm writing, something will just kind of occur to me that this would be a really good fit here, and I can work it in again later. So that's kind of what I do. But I didn't really think that, I didn't think so far ahead. I don't think there's going to be 10 books, so I think I'm going to move on after book four. I have some other things I want to work on.
Well, you never know.
It's true. You never know. But I didn't think I would write three. Well, I mean, I've written three before, but the two main characters were the same, but all the stories were very different. This is a little bit different because even though the characters are the same, a lot of the setting and the story continues.
Well, your main character is an amateur sleuth. What made you interested in going that route instead of maybe a more professional detective?
I just thought it would be interesting to have this young woman who has really had no interest in sleuthing or catching murderers, and she just finds herself in this position. So I think if I was going to write a police detective or real detective, I think it would have to be a little bit more factual in the sense of exactly what they do and how they do it. Jude kind of wings it a little bit, and she does get help from certain people, but I think that would be the big difference.
Would you find it challenging to write about an amateur sleuth, or do you find it more freeing because you don't have to follow those rules?
I think it's more freeing, honestly, because if you're going to write a police procedural, you really probably should know exactly how all of those things go in a row. You know, the interviewing and the collecting of the evidence. And Jude doesn't have to do that. I mean, ultimately she finds what she needs, but she doesn't have to do it in a certain order or in a certain way. I did write a series, the Laurel and Helen New York Mysteries. That was my first series. One of the people in that was a private detective, and the other main character was a magazine editor. So they kind of, I did it from differing points of view with them. And Helen also, even though she was a private detective, she kind of had, she knew the rules, but it wasn't still cut, set in stone how she had to behave.
Now, Jude Delane, who is Jude, and how did you come up with that character? Is this really kind of you in disguise? Or
well,
is this someone else?
No. My daughter makes it her in disguise, but it's not. She, like me, is a Bronx girl. So the first book, when I had her going back there, although things have changed quite a bit in that borough, there are things that didn't, like where she grew up and the beach and places she knew. So I used that. I used what I knew from there to sort of set the tone for her when she goes back there. But that's as far as our similarities go, really. She's much more, she's a freewheeling. She's very determined. She has had a lot of adversity in her life, which fortunately I did not. Her family is gone, and she's overcoming all of this, and she found herself in a place where she could be with owning the bar. She's a co-owner of this bar. Her partner is the chef. So, I guess I used all the things I learned at the restaurant from going there and seeing my husband and his, his friends, and they became my friends as well. And I just think, it was an interesting place to put her, and she is an interesting character to me. For all her problems that she's overcome.
Do you have and now I ask this not to be weird, but I am weird, but the reason I ask is because so many people say this, like when we talk to fiction writers, a lot of them say that they describe their character like Jude would be like, a sister, a kid, a friend, like they have sort of a relationship, if you will. Are you in that same boat? Do you feel like you...
I mean, she could be my friend, but I don't see her as a sister, like that, that close. I would be friends with her. I would like to sit at her bar and have a drink with her and talk to her because she's fun and interesting, and she gets into trouble, which to me is interesting. So Yeah, but I don't feel such a close relationship, like you mentioned, as a sister. Yeah,
right. Well, I mean, you know, I guess in a way you could have this character do things that you would maybe like to do or thought about doing, but never done.
Yes, I would like to solve a real crime.
Well, yeah.
I don't know that I would be able to, but I would probably like to. I mean, I walk down the street and I'm a terrible eavesdropper. And I hear snippets of conversations and I say, ooh, what are they talking about? Like, is that going to be something good, something bad? Of course, I don't really act on it. But I am writing another book. I am going to write is about a young woman who's a serial eavesdropper, and she overhears a plot to commit murder, and she gets in a lot of trouble. So that will be fun,
there
I think.
You go. But, it's just like, well, you know, and you can solve a crime, and nowadays anybody can. You got Dog the Bounty Hunter. Anybody's, it's a free for all.
I guess.
Right?
Well, just really, in Manhattan, I guess I could find something. Nearly every day. But,
I'm sure there's a lot of activity. Just for the mere fact that there's so many people
there. Yes, exactly.
Right? I mean, that in itself. What's your kind of underlying, or do you have an underlying sort of subtext or an idea that, you know, when you end the book, do you hope people get something out of it other than just the main story itself, like the killing or the mystery?
Yeah, I hope they get, you know, I hope they get to understand a little bit about my characters' personalities, because they, I don't know, probably other writers have told you the same thing. They become real to you as you're writing them, almost. Sometimes it feels like they're saying, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to go over here and do, you know, X instead of Y. So, yeah, I'd like people to see that, you know, justice is served in a way, and that these people are good people, and continue.
So you actually hear voices in your head?
I do.
And you see pictures, and you do all this weird stuff.
Yeah,
you
know, no pictures. Well, I do see pictures. That's how I really write. I visualize the scene before I write it. I think about where they are, what they're going to do, and then I write it.
Yeah.
And it goes back to setting, I think. That's very important to me.
Well, then good. So you're not, the voices don't tell you to do weird things.
No.
Okay. I have to go kind of that way. So where do you see yourself going with this writing sort of thing? And did you think it would take off kind of like what it is now for you?
Well, I see it continuing, so that's a good thing. I was an advertising copywriter for a really long time. So when I first started, I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to write something of this length, like a full-length novel. I didn't start. I've written a bunch of short stories and gotten some awards for them, but I didn't start with short stories. I started with the novel. And it was a big change, you know, going from writing a 30-second TV commercial or a couple of paragraphs for an ad to writing, you know, 300 pages. So I wanted to continue. I have ideas that I'd like to pursue. And, you know, as long as the ideas keep coming and I can keep writing, I'm going to be very happy to do that. Maybe Jude will have a fifth book, maybe not. But I think I'm going to definitely take a break after book four and write a couple of other things.
Well, do you think you brought anything in from your copywriting work as a writer? Do you feel that you become maybe more of an efficient writer from doing that type of work before you became a novelist?
Well, when you're writing advertising copy, as you may know, it has to be pretty succinct. You don't have a lot of, you don't use a lot of words, or you don't have a lot of time. So in that regard, I think about how I'm describing things, and yes, I think that has helped me, really. You know, I try and be economical with descriptions, and dialogue is fun because when you write commercials, you write dialogue often. And so it all kind of blends together a little bit, you know, of your experience to be able to do this.
Yeah, you're one of those ones that writes those
commercials that drive me nuts.
No, I haven't said it before. I wrote nice commercials. I don't write, I won't say what I don't write. Yeah, I hate. I probably shouldn't say that.
You were the good commercial writer.
Yes, very good.
Well, you center everything around crying. Is that sort of because, you really like to commit crime? Or is that sort of, where does that come from?
I don't think I've committed any real crimes. When I was a kid, I loved to read mostly spy and espionage and those kinds of novels, John le Carré and all those guys. And I guess I wanted to be a spy. So this is kind of the closest I'm coming to it. I like writing about crime. And I realize, as I said maybe at the very beginning, I like writing about things that, using some of the things that have happened in the world or in our lives as part of my story. So, and then, having it resolve. So, even if it doesn't resolve in real life.
So you always resolve your book. Do each book, like in a series, so if someone was to pick up one of them, if they picked up book two, does it stand alone, or do you need to go through one, two, and then three?
Well, I would like them to go through one, two, and three.
Oh, yeah.
But they can't stand alone. Straight Up is a little more connected to Last Call because it's, it's about one serial killer is still on the loose. And, but I do go back, not a lot, because you don't want to info dump things, but I go back and I explain a little bit about the previous books, a little bit about Jude's background and the bar and the other crimes, things that she uses a private detective sometimes who's a friend to help her look into things, and she's used her in the past, and I kind of mention things like that so that a reader has some context of who she is and what she, what she's all about. And they do stand alone. Even my other series, they all stand alone.
Well, I see you also write some short fiction. All things considered, do you prefer writing short fiction or novels? What do you think is more interesting for you?
I like writing both, to tell you the truth. I mean, I don't write a lot of stories right now because I've been very busy with books, but I have a story that's in Justice for All, Murder New York Style 6, which is our Sisters in Crime chapter anthology. And that was fun. That's about art and a young woman who's going to revenge the death of her mother. And I wrote another one using one of my old characters for it. I submitted it to the Malice anthology. But I haven't had that much time to write short stories. I know everybody says they go faster. And, it doesn't take a year to write a short story. It takes a couple of weeks, maybe not even that long. But there's been a lot going on, so I've been concentrating on the books. But I really enjoy writing both. When I have a good idea for a story, I think, I'll just get it down.
So when you sit down and write, how do you do this? Like, do you plan on, how do I say this? Can you just sit down and go, okay, well, I'm free today between 2 and 4, so you sit down and write? Can you plan your time and just turn it on and write? Or do you have to wait till you're in a certain mood?
I don't plan it, really, but I can just sit down and start writing. I'll look at, what I wrote a day or two ahead before and maybe do a little editing. I like to edit a little bit as I go along. I know it takes longer that way, but you see things, and you might want to change something when you do that instead of waiting until you finish the book. And then I'll just, keep writing, and sometimes I'll be walking around in the city and I'm like, I got to go home and write this down because it's just things go into, things come to you and you want to make sure you don't forget them. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, when you're walking around listening to people.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Get that. How long does it take you to do one of these books?
Oh, it takes a long time. It takes about a year, really. you know, during the pandemic, I finished Straight Up, and it took me a long time because it was a little hard to write then, you know, with everything that was going on. My concentration wasn't as good as it usually is, so I took a while. Going to take me a while to finish with the twist because I started it before Straight Up, you know, when Straight Up went into the publisher, and then this, of course, there's a lot of changes, and it's coming out next week, so it's been a hectic month or so getting it ready because the book you got was The Ark, and you know it's not perfect. It's got errors in it, so we have to correct all of that. When you write your two crime books, how long does it take you? I'm curious.
2 weeks.
No. Come on.
Well, no, you see,
it's lying, Dave.
Oh boy.
Oh, of course not.
No, when you do a nonfiction, it all depends on the amount of information in it and how long it takes you. So, if you're doing a crime from the 20s, let's say, you have to go back and you go through the newspapers every single day during that year to try and get every information. Then you go through several papers, and then you might get the court documents. You might get any police records. And it might take you 6 months. It might take it 1 week to get it. You know, some things are online, some aren't, right? So it's just a matter of time. So I always have 5 or 6 usually going at a time.
Oh, really?
And I'm submitting for all the things I need, information. And that includes also if it's a current murder or a case or more current where people are alive, then you reach out to see who will talk and what they, you know, what they'll contribute or if they want a book. So, and if you see a prisoner in jail, you have to apply to get in and then talk to them and get approval. So there's all these things per case. So you just got a lot of them going at once, and you just throw it all out there. And as it comes to you, you assemble it. And then at the end of it, it's when you sort of put it together. So some things are really quick, and some things take a long time.
It would take a long time, but...
It does. That's why you've got to have
information. And...
Yeah, that's why you have a lot going at once, you know, so that you assemble it. Yeah, you're assembling something. You always got something usually going on. It's very seldom I have a week where there's nothing.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, except for in my head, there's always nothing.
You know, I was wondering, since you have a bar theme in some of your books, do you have favorite spirits or cocktails?
Oh, I made up some, you know, for my books.
Oh, okay.
I didn't And I put recipes in the first two, but I decided not to put it in straight up because I made up the food too, and it's kind of elaborate food, and I'd have to really do some more research on it. I want, you know, if someone is going to actually try and make that, I want it to be right. But the drink for our last call was, cherry bomb. And the drink for Bar None was the jalapeno envy, which is like a margarita with a lot of jalapeno pepper. And the drink for Straight Up is called the Spring Solace, and it's Prosecco and vanilla vodka with a float of blueberry liqueur on the top. So it's fun.
Sounds
to
good.
It's fun to make them, try them.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, Dave's probably got lots of recipes.
I make very simple drinks.
Yeah.
Well, I really just make wine. So, but I like to, I like to, you know, for the book, I want it to be a little more exciting. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it can add a certain flavor. No pun intended. So COVID really sort of messed with you a little bit in writing, hey? Like it was interfering with your concentration.
Yes,
somewhat.
A little. You know, and yeah. I did it, obviously. I made myself do it. But, you know, every day I would turn on the TV and watch our then governor, Andrew Cuomo. And I'd be like, oh, when is this going to be over? It was like 150 yeah. days, you know. It was good to get information, but it just made it seem even more endless, you know. And
yeah.
to go out, we didn't go out for a long time. Imagine that you guys didn't either. And then, you know, when you went out, you really, like, you put your mask, your gloves, bundled up to and not go near anyone. It's much better now, but everybody's still wearing masks here, pretty much.
Yeah, it depends on the area and stuff, right? But Dave's always going for those anti-mask rallies. he's causing trouble all the time. He's a little bit of a nutball, so we keep him in the basement.
I'm chained in the bottom in the basement of the House of Mystery.
Yeah, we can't let him. Yeah, no, it's all. I just wonder, but, you know, I wonder if during that, I wonder if you look back at this in 10 years and you look back at what you were writing, if it'll be a little bit darker or a little bit more moody than you probably thought it was?
Well, I wouldn't say these books are dark, but there's serious crimes in them. So, you know, maybe that, but... Honestly, I kept them all before pandemic started. I started with it I guess the first one was 2018, even in the book, the time frame. And then these three, it's like it was January of 19 and then the spring and then September of that year before we, you know, had quarantine and all of that. So I don't think I write very dark things, and I don't think I could, but you never know.
Yeah, no, I just wonder. Yeah, well, yeah, you might really get into it, right? You have a torture going on. Who are your influences then? Like, where does it come from for you when you write these kinds of mysteries and crime influence and stuff? Like, do you have other writers? Or?
Well, lots of really good writers, you know. Allison Galen and Wendy Corsi Staub and let me think who else, Laura Lipman, people like that. And then again, as I said, I always enjoyed the espionage and spy stories. And my middle series, the Nick Donahue Adventures, that's more like a James Bond kind of book, although he's not a spy, he's a gambler. A professional gambler, and he just loves getting in all this stuff, in trouble with crooks and people like that. But I guess I've been influenced, you know, the usual, like Agatha Christie. I mean, she's the master of plots. She has great plot. Every one of her books is different. the old Sue Grafton. I loved her. You've heard what? I'm sorry.
I've heard of her.
You have heard of her. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's done it. I think she's written a book or two.
Yeah, a few. Yeah.
Well, you were supposed to say the host, and you're supposed to say Dave. Dave and me are writing. It's a big influence for you.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Alan is a big influence for me.
What do I have to do?
I have to get your books. I have to get your books now. I want to read your one about the serial killer. I know there was one that I was looking online, and it was, I can't remember the name of it right off now, but I'm going to look again.
I don't know either. Well, the one that I met was the Murder Time 6. That's got a lot of people that like that one, it seems like. And I didn't have to pay anybody. That's good when that happens.
Do you walk around and think,
yeah,
who is that person? Do you think they could commit a crime or
No. Because it seems like the most times when you meet people that have actually done these things, if you saw them on the street for the most part or they're your neighbor, you would never know it.
I know. I understand that about serial killers. I learned that when I was doing more research for my books. Yeah. They really could be anyone, and you wouldn't.
Yeah, because the truth is, like, how they make it on, like, Silence of the Lambs, and things, and some of these, they make them look so, they're real elegant, good-looking, smart, sophisticated, all that sort of stuff. Nothing like that is ever true.
They're all greedy?
Yeah, no, they're just average people. They can be geeky, they can be normal, they can just be... it's all types of people. In fact, you could pick any five serial killers and put them in a room with regular people, and if you didn't know they were killers, you probably wouldn't. They're just average people. That's the only thing I can say, because I've never met anybody like what Silence of the Lambs guy, So, I don't know.
Yeah, that character's pretty scary, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you see the real character, or when you hear about them, you find out they're not even anywhere near how they're described and done in these shows and stuff. So it's kind of it can be disappointing in a way. But now, if someone was to pick up one of your books, which one would it be? Like, if you told someone to find out about you and what kind of writer you are, what book should they get?
Oh boy. Well, the books the first two series are kind of out of print. They're available a little bit on Amazon because I guess they have copies. But I would think that maybe Keeping Secrets, which is my two protagonists, the detective and a magazine editor, I think that's could find out a little bit more about me because I think I put a little more of myself into the detective Helen, into her character. And again, they both live in the city, so that's, where I live and wander. So I think those books, which I'm going to reissue in case anybody's actually interested in them, but not till next year because I haven't had a chance to do that.
When you're done writing for the day or in between books, do you do anything to relax, to recharge?
Well, I like to go to the gym, and I like to walk. I live near I live on New York Avenue and 62nd Street, and it's right by the promenade by the river. So I walk there a lot, very often. And, I like to go out. My husband and I like to go out to dinner and, see our friends. Well, now we can see our friends again and go out to dinner again. But... those kinds of things, yeah.
Well, I was also wondering, do you have any favorite bars or taverns that end up in your fiction, fictionalized or other?
Well, the bar I really based my bar on, although it doesn't look anything like the Corner Lounge, was Who's On First, which is on 1st Avenue and 65th Street, where my husband worked and managed for a long time. And that's where I got to know all the bartenders, the other, the cooks, the waitresses and waiters, and a lot of the patrons. We haven't been going to bars that much because of the pandemic. Mm. So I can't really say a couple that I liked closed. And they look like they're going to be reopening some of the places. I mean, I like to go to Maya. They have great margaritas, and that's close to home. We haven't been going too far afield because of everything that was going on. People who live downtown, I know they have plenty of places they love to go. I just don't, I don't personally know them.
There's a real unique thing about the bars or taverns in America. They're not like anything else in any other country. There's a flavor. There's a regular setup, you know, where people are there all the time, mm-hmm. and stuff. So when you were visiting your husband's places that he was at, I wonder if, did you ever come across, because there's always a few jerks or drunks that are troublemakers at these, they're just here,
you think?
Right? Yeah, it just, you know, you get alcohol and it's just not going to happen, right? And there's always those regulars that are just always causing trouble. Have you ever taken that from real sort of experiences, like where you see some real, you know?
I don't think I've put any of that in my books. But I knew a lot of the regulars. Most of them were really nice people. They would come after work. And I have put in my book, they take, like Jude wonders, like, what if their seat was taken when they walked in? Because they come at the same time, they take the same seat, they order the same drinks. And that was true, at Who's especially. It's just funny that people are creatures of habit, I guess, and that's...
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there would be a big fight then, right? Yeah.
Well, maybe they just move over one bar stool. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, there were always troublemakers around, you know.
Well, I just want to get to the real goods. Like, if you ever put people in that you know that you don't like, or you put them in and something bad happens to them in the book.
Well, bad things happen, but...
yeah, but come on.
We won't tell anybody.
The people I like, I had a bad experience with one of my first books. I used a friend from Italy's name. I have since changed it. And he has still not spoken to me in over 10 years. He was not happy that I did this. We don't do this in my country, he said. I was like, well, yeah, you
well, I'm
do.
Not in your country.
But and right. I made him a nice, you know, was a nice character, wasn't a bad person. So now I ask people, is it all right if I use your name? And they all are so happy. They don't care. I could make
them a killer.
They don't care. But
yeah, unless you made him some really weird, perverted nutball.
I made him the owner of a beautiful villa with gorgeous artwork and helping my heroine figure out things, but didn't work for him. So, but you know, in this new book,
maybe he was a gangster.
No, he isn't.
Well, just I don't know.
In the new book, I'm using the names of several people from Who's On First who I haven't used in other books, and they are so delighted. And I gave them, you know, nice roles. I didn't make them the bad guy. All the bad people, like the killers, I make up those names. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want, you could always use me as a bad guy.
Okay. Please. I'll keep that.
Yeah. I can be the real nutball and do whatever. You heard it here. You can just throw me in there, and I do everything that's bad in the place.
Also, some people say, it's funny, I can't remember which writer I know who told me this, that she was so afraid that her brother-in-law or her cousin was going to know it was him. Not a clue.
Well, there you go. Because some people don't really realize.
They don't realize that, you know, I guess it was, I don't remember. It wasn't obviously a very nice character, but not a clue that she was writing about him.
Well, you know, when I talked to J.D. Souther, who's like a New York Times bestseller, he said that whenever someone's rude to him, he takes that character and kills them off. So
kills them off?
Yeah. He makes sure they pay.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Why not? Someone cuts you off in line, you take that character, and okay. You're going to be in pain tonight.
You could do that every minute if you're walking out on the streets here, if someone cutting you off, beeping their horn like crazy and playing their radio so loud that you just want to say, Why don't we give him a flat tire now?
Yeah, see, now we're getting to the deal. Here, so how many people did you flatten tires on?
I wish I could, but I don't have that little magical power.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't. Me either. So how do you want people to find you, get a hold of you? Do you have a website? Do you do social media? What's your sort of thing?
I have a website, www.kathystoller.com. I'm on Instagram at Kathy Stoller Author. I'm on Facebook as Kathy Stoller and Kathy Stoller Author for my, you know, professional page. And I'm on Twitter too.
Do you like interacting?
I'm everywhere.
Yeah. Do you like interacting with readers and people that?
I do. I don't get to do it that much. People, like, you know, read your posts and they comment and you say, oh, thank you. And, you know, that way. But, and we haven't had very many conferences lately, which is unfortunate. I'm going to one next weekend, Crime Bake. It's very small. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's in Boston. Yep. And it's only going to be a few hundred people. And I'm not on a panel. I mean, they have preset panels. And so it'll just be kind of fun to see everyone. But VoucherCon is usually the big one, and they canceled it this year because it was in New Orleans in August, it just wasn't really safe to go. So
no, you have to be careful, right? You don't want to.
But, I love that because you not only do you meet other authors, you know, like that. I mean, that's like how I met Alan and some of the other people that have been on your show, or through Sisters in Crime or Mystery Writers of America. When we have meetings that you can go to in person, you get to meet everyone, you know, and talk to them. But that obviously hasn't been happening lately.
No. So, now, your Sisters in Crime, what, just for people if they don't know what that is, what is it?
It is a national organization, and it's sisters and misters. It's not just women, but it is mostly women. It's to help promote writing and women authors, and they do a lot of, you know, good things for the communities that they're in. And we have a New York tri-state chapter, and we have lots of guests. I was on the board for a long time, and I resigned this year. And we have, you know, we have people who would be of interest to writers. I mean, I had invited a female private detective. We've had the FBI. We've had other private detectives. We've had poison expert people. We have people who've written different kinds of books, you know, true crime books, and it's just a good resource. It's a very good resource. Well, now we will. I'll have to give them your name because I'm not on the board anymore. But they would probably like to talk to you, actually.
Yeah, they put me away. I know.
You have to come. We've been doing the meetings on Zoom, so that could work.
Well, you know, when things are normal, I don't mind traveling. I travel around a lot, so. But not the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, just sort of not been happening. But that's okay. Things will get better.
Oh, I really hope so. It's hard to feel how it's going to be. I mean, I know that doesn't really make sense what I just said, because you don't know how it's going to be. But it just feel like, is it going to be all right? You know, I know it's going to be different, I think.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, we have to get used to change as it is.
Yes.
And realize that it's always going on, and it's not always good. Sometimes it's change that we don't like, but sometimes that's how it is, you know.
Right.
But that's what makes it exciting, and that's what makes people like you write books.
Well, we draw on what we see and what we know.
There you go. See? Well, it's been a real pleasure
talking
to you today and having you on the show. Now, the book we are talking, now you have to get this book because it's the best book that you could possibly buy. It's called Straight Up. It's a Murder on the Rocks mystery. It's book 3. And, of course, you want to get book 1 and 2 because, you know, you don't want to miss all the excitement that comes before book 3. What's the point, right? So, and you can't call yourself a reader of crime if you don't have these books. Anyway, that'll be up on our website. And our guest is the author of these books, Kathy Stoller. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys. It was really fun.
Thanks, Kathy.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
We interrupt our programming. This is a national emergency. you prepared? Legacy Food Storage. The best way to protect your family is by being prepared. Go now to legacyfoodstorage.com. Use coupon code HOM15 now for 15% off. Quick, go!
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them! Stay back, I've got mace!
Ow, the one in my eyes!
We're moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
I was just thinking.
You were thinking?
Yeah, I know. it's not normal for me. But, you know, actually, I watched a movie on... it's on Prime.
Okay.
Last night. Okay, so I haven't... it's called Voyager.
Oh, I've seen that. I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the
yeah, because it's new. It's 2021, and it's got a big star in it, or a fairly big star. What's his name? He's Irish. He's been in so many movies.
Should I look it up?
I'm trying to think of his name now, but he's been around. You'll know him, Colin Farrell.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's been around a lot.
He's been in everything, yeah.
Yeah, and he's kind of, you know, been around for 20 years probably now. So he's kind of the main star in it. And the movie's okay. It's enough to keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the movie, you realize that you've just watched a space version of, that real... Jeez, I can't even see that. See, I'm just a mess today.
You're a mess.
I'm a mess.
Terrible.
But that Lord of the Flies or whatever that.
Oh, okay.
You know, where they're stuck on the island and then you mm-hmm. have kind of one not very nice asshole kind of kid and you got another one and they're trying to be who's the leader of it, you know, how they all fight. It's the same sort of thing. Because basically Colin Farrell doesn't make it over years. After 10 years, he dies. He's taking a group of kids up there, and they're on their way to a new planet. It's going to take him 86 years, so he's supposed to be their guiding parent, sort of. And as they grow up, they'll have kids. They'll have kids that'll make it to the planet, because of course Earth is doomed, you know.
Yeah.
And so, so then of course they have the same sort of Lord of the Fly battles over who's supposed to be the leader when he dies.
Yep.
So it's kind of kind of at the end of the, you know, you realize that, yeah, I think I've just seen that.
You've already seen it before.
And I've seen it in several others, not just, that's just the most popular one. But I thought it was interesting, but it's a worth seeing movie, but you will be kind of, you know, disappointed in that fact that, and they kind of modernized it a little bit because they're in the future and they're going to this other planet. So, of course, they made the real not very nice guy, asshole guy, into kind of like a Donald Trump guy. Because he actually killed their leader.
Okay.
And Colin Farrell. And he made it sound like it was an alien that did it.
Okay.
An alien killed them because they were outside fixing something out on the outside of the ship. And so then he was telling everybody, well, the alien's really here. We got to fight against him. We got to protect ourselves against him. So he's creating this big fear to get people to follow him.
Okay.
You know, they same sort of thing. And then meanwhile, their counterperson was more of the calm, reserved. No, we don't need to do that. So it was kind of weird. And then eventually they find the film of this asshole guy that killed their old leader and they saw it in film. And then, he made up a story that, oh, he was just because the alien had gotten into their leader and that's why he killed them, which isn't true. But it's kind of made it like fake news, you know, even though they're watching something, he's saying it's not true. And then all these people were, yeah, it's not true. It was weird in that way. So,
huh.
Well, there you go. So I'd say take it or leave it with some interesting points. But, you know, it was...
This wasn't great.
No, it was okay. It was okay. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to go. I mean, it's free, so, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Anyway. Well, that's it for today.
I'm waster.
Yeah. So I'm just saying take it or leave it. And there we go. We're off for another day.
Sounds good.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.